it sells out. It's Monday, September 30th, inside KZFR Studio 460. The Fragile Thunder Trio, featuring slack key guitarist Stephen Inglis with David Gans and Amelia Lauren.
And Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonades, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, find them at iloveohmfoods.com and, of course, on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome, welcome to show 1939, the September 25th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal news, animal rights, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. Today we have a great interview scheduled with Will Tuttle. Will Tuttle is an educator, a longtime vegan, I believe, in the range of 39 years or so, and the author of the best-selling book, The World Peace Diet. He's also the recipient of the Courage of Conscience Award and the Empty Cages Prize. More recently, he is the author of the recent book, Your Inner Islands, The Keys to Intuitive Living, and he's the editor of the recently published book, Buddhism and Veganism, Essays Connecting Spiritual Awakening and Animal Liberation. And he's also on the Advisory Council for Dharma Voices of Animals, which is a global nonprofit committed to both practicing the teachings of the Buddha, the Dharma, and to speaking out when the actions of those in Dharma communities lead to animal suffering. And thanks to my other guest, Sherry Morgado, Will and his wife Madeline will be giving a talk here in Chico on October 9th at the Chico Library, and you'll get more details on that. And that brings me to a really joyous welcome to Sherry Morgado back to the Non-Human Radio studio. She's an old friend of the show, but it's been a little while since you've been on. Sherry is also a Chico resident, and she's been practicing Zen Buddhism in the lineage of Thich Nhat Hanh since 2010. And she practices with the slowly ripening Sangha here in Chico at Sky Creek Dharma Center. She's the founder and leader of the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals and is a contributor to that collection, Buddhism and Veganism, Essays Connecting Spiritual Awakening and Animal Liberation. All right, let me get Will on air here. Welcome to the show, Will Tuttle and Sherry Morgado.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. And Will, we'd like to welcome you as well to the Non-Human Radio Show. We're really happy to have you.
Will?
Hi, Will, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, this is live radio, folks. So, Will, this is Sherry. Welcome to the Non-Human Radio Show. We're really happy to have you today.
Thank you so much, Sherry and Jeannie, for the work you're doing, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
So real quickly, before we launch into the interview, I do want to let our listeners know that Dr. Will Tuttle is going to be in Chico the evening of October the 9th at the Chico Library. He's going to be presenting and further discussing the ideas that we're going to briefly discuss today. That talk will start at 6:30 p.m. with vegan refreshments beginning at 6 p.m. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the interview today.
Great. Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for arranging that, and look forward to seeing everyone there.
Yeah, you're always welcome in Chico.
Definitely. So, Will, we want to talk a little bit about the World Peace Diet, your book that was published, I believe, in 2005.
Great, yes. I'd be happy to talk about that.
Yeah. So could you tell us about what led to the idea for the book?
You know, the main thing, really, from my point of view, I've been a vegan now for a long time, about almost 40 years, 39 years, since 1980. And back then, I was a longtime vegan also, and I felt that no one had ever written a book, really, that gives us the big picture about the consequences of animal agriculture in our society, and also how our society is actually a herding society. It's a herding culture, organized at its core around owning animals as property for food and other products. And this is invisible, really. We never talk about this. We don't think of ourselves as being a herding culture. We think of ourselves as being a high-tech kind of postmodern society. But really, the primary activity in our society is killing billions of animals every single year. Actually, if you include marine animals, every day for food. And it has a huge impact on our environment, on our society, on our psyches, and on our health, on every dimension of our lives. And so that's why I wrote the World Peace Diet, was to highlight the many levels of the situation, the environmental health, cultural health, physical health, psychological health, and spiritual health, and ethical health. Really, I think all six of these levels are impacted by animal agriculture. And of course, the good news is, I really wanted to emphasize that as we move toward eliminating animal products and toward adopting a whole food plant-based diet, we really will not only be able to heal the outer world, our society and our environment and our physical health, but also the inner landscape of our awareness, which in many ways is unfortunately is constricted by the narrative of animal agriculture that forces us to disconnect from nature and from animals, and I would say also from our true nature. So the book really includes all these different levels, and no one had ever written such a book, so I thought, all right, someone should write it. And then when nobody did, I guess Madeline, so Madeline said, if you want to read that book, well, you'll have to write it yourself. So that's what I ended up doing.
When was that book released, Will?
2005. Yeah, I started working on it around the turn of the millennium, around 2000. I got a contract with Lantern Books in New York City to publish the book, and it's now continues to be published and translated in other languages. We're up to 16 languages now, and there's quite a few more on the way. So people are still translating it and publishing it in other languages. And the message, really, from my point of view, is just as relevant, probably more relevant now than it was then. We've seen a lot of progress, but the devastating impact of animal agriculture, with the fires in the Amazon, all the other things, is becoming so obvious now.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's hard to believe that it's been 15 years. And I remember when I read the book, I think really right after it was published, and I was, as you said, I was simply shocked and amazed. I remember it being a page turner, and with every page, I was just saying, "Wow." Yes. Oh my gosh, I never thought of that before, but I could really start to see very clearly the truth of the ideas that you were putting forward. And the idea that we live in a herding culture was initially a shock to me when I first read the book. And of course, over the years, I've begun to, obviously, as my eyes have been open, been able to see really the evidence of that around us. So it was, maybe if you could talk a little bit more about this idea of us living in a herding culture and what the signs are and what are the implications for us as a society and as individuals.
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking that. I coined this word herderism because I think it's a better word than, in some ways anyway, than other words we know, like speciesism, carnism, because herderism really describes exactly what it is. It's a practice and the mentality of herding animals, and it's so deeply ingrained in us. We sell these animals by the pound. They're objects that we buy and sell. They're things. We never think about the cow when we're eating a burger, typically in our society, or the chicken and the eggs and the dairy cows and the milk and so forth. And we just buy these things. We're pretty much oblivious to the mechanization and industrialization of herding animals now. And so the ramifications are just almost literally endless. They really, it's an amazing journey of self-discovery and of awakening, really, I have to say, to go down this pathway and to take the adventure of really looking deeply into our society and seeing how our routine mistreatment of animals for food impacts not only them, but us, and how it impacts animals, of course. I think most people now are aware that there are undercover videos on YouTube that you can watch of what happens to these poor animals, not only the enormous physical and psychological abuse that they endure chronically as well as acutely in any animal agriculture operation, even so-called backyard operations are now being exposed in small-scale slaughterhouses as being unbelievably violent and abusive of animals, and as well as, of course, the big factory farms as well. So the sheer agony that millions of animals are enduring behind the curtain, basically, of our society, and that we're all causing when we take out our wallets and pay for these products, is something we'd rather not think about. So I think it's very courageous and very admirable for anyone to talk about this and create a forum for this in our society, because as we liberate animals, we liberate ourselves. When we imprison them, we create the conditions for ourselves to also be imprisoned and exploited in ways that are not that obvious. But I go into that in the World Peace Diet, how we steal the purposes of animals. We just declare that they have no purpose other than to be property. When we enslave other beings, other human beings, we recognize that as being a fundamental injustice. When you steal someone's purpose, you don't allow them to unfold their life. When you steal their sovereignty, that is there's no way that is not harming them at the deepest level. No matter, even if you treat them well, they're your property. You can't. That's violence. And yet we do that, to animals without thinking about how much they suffer when we do that, because we are blinded by being born and raised in this society. So that's the main idea in the herding culture, is not to blame anyone, in a sense. I mean, we're all wounded by this. This is something I talk about in the World Peace Diet in the second chapter, the historical chapter, how it evolved starting about 10,000 years ago in what is today Iraq, when people started herding wild sheep for some reason. No one knows exactly why. There are different theories. But
It's so interesting to me. I'm I need to so our listeners are clear.
Sure.
You're talking about herding, H-U-R-T-I-N-G, animals, but also when you talk about what happened 10,000 years ago, it is actually herding animals and hurting them at the same time. It's really
funny how that is. Yeah,
yeah.
I've been using the H-E-R-D, the entire time, but I think people are maybe you could also say hurt, H-U-R-T.
No, honestly, I thought you were talking about hurting animals, H-U-R-T.
No.
So I'm glad
to
have brought
about
that
hurting.
Up.
Okay. Hurting them, like herding, H-E-R-D. That's my whole point, right? And we started herding them in wild sheep, and then wild goats, and then wild cows about 2,000 years later in Eastern Mediterranean region. And very briefly, it just did about six things. Gradually over the centuries, it concentrated wealth in the hands of a tiny elite, because these animals became wealth, actually. The word capita, where we get our word capital, capitalism, comes from head, as in sheep and goats. And whoever owned the most capital was wealthy. And when we started writing books, and we have the first books, like the ancient Old Testament writings and the ancient Greek and Babylonian writings and so forth, you can just read about the wealthy elite class that dominates the society because they own livestock. And it's still today the same. I mean, basically, people who, when Europeans came here, it was herding animals that destroyed the native cultures and still destroying native cultures in the Amazon to right now. And those people that do the herding of animals run the governments and basically run everything. And there's really very few laws to keep them in check because they don't want any laws, so they don't have them.
Oh yeah, we've heard
and
that.
It's the same way.
I need to do a little station business here. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Animal News. Actually, you're listening to Will Tuttle, the author of The World Peace Diet, on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by yours truly, Jeannie Trezino, and co-hosted today by Sherry Morgado. So we have Will Tuttle, who's the author of The World Peace Diet. We're going through it sounds like you have 6 points.
I was just going to say briefly, right, the wealthy, the creation of a wealthy elite class, the creation of war. There had never been war as a way to enrich the wealthy elite class, because that was the whole point of going to war, was to get more capital, more livestock. And then the creation of slavery. There had never been slavery either until we started enslaving animals. And I discovered, and I think we all can see it, that it's a small step from doing to animals and then doing it to other human beings. So owning them as property and then pretty soon owning human beings as property, whoever lost the war would become property of the victor. So herding cultures, this is the foundation of it's a wealth domination by a wealthy elite class with war and herding, and then women lose their status also, because animal agriculture at its core is about reducing the female to merely a breeder. She's just here to give babies. She's here to be owned and used. And so you can just, again, read in those ancient texts, women are bought and sold like cows and sheep and goats, and then boys are also harmed. Boys are basically forced to emulate the role model of a hard, tough, disconnected male, which is a miserable existence. And so this system basically has continued to this day. We're born into a herding culture. It's now industrialized. We're going to fast food. We're eating massive quantities of animal flesh and the secretions of animals like dairy products and eggs. We're confining billions of animals. We're destroying our ecosystems on a massive scale directly because of animal agriculture. But the real damage that's being done is to us as individuals, how we have to disconnect from our natural intelligence and awareness and sensitivity and become naive and disempowered consumers eating foods that are of exploitation, that exploit us. We stab all these animals and we end up on our back being stabbed for a quadruple heart bypass, and starving people can't eat the grain that we're feeding to our animals, and the food shortages are causing the wars that we see all over the world. So it's past time for us to realize that for whatever reason 10,000 years ago in Iraq people thought they needed to herd animals, it's completely counterproductive today. We can feed everyone on this planet on a fraction of the land, the water, the resources, petroleum, and we can allow the ecosystems to heal, the climate to heal, the rainforest to heal, the oceans and aquifers to heal, our bodies to heal, our society to heal, our psyches to heal. And if we don't make that move, that's the doorway. If we don't go through that doorway, we're not going to get anywhere. We have nuclear weapons today and the capacity to completely destroy ecosystems. We don't have a future for our children, and this has become so obvious. And
yeah,
so,
I would posit we don't even need nuclear weapons to destroy ecosystems. I think we're doing very well at just spewing out too much, too many greenhouse gases, and not doing enough about climate change. That's probably worse than any nuclear weapon that we could detonate at this point. It's such a massive,
massive
hit.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna, it's a manifestation of the mentality of herding animals, of exploitation of the weak by the strong, and eating that every day and feeding it to our children. And therefore, we don't question, unfortunately, what we're doing to the environment, like you're saying, or to other people, or to animals, or to politically and economically as well. It's all interconnected. I think that's the thing to understand. And the beautiful thing is we have a positive solution. You know, that's the beautiful thing. It's not just a critique. I mean, moving to a plant-based diet is the best thing we can do. For example, like you're saying about global climate destabilization, allowing forests to come back. And, you know, experts in this field say, you know, animal agriculture is the driving force behind climate destabilization and so forth. So an important point.
And, well, something you talk about in the book as well is how this mentality has really sort of damaged our intelligence, like you talk about, the ability to make connections and then to see the ramifications of our actions. And I think that's something that isn't really apparent to people, as you talk about in the book. It seems like food is such a simple thing, but actually food is a very complex thing, and it's time for us to wake up to that.
Right. Well, thanks. Yeah, you know, the thing is, I have a PhD from UC Berkeley in education, and basically part of that is studying intelligence. Intelligence in a human being, or really actually in any system, intelligence is the capacity to make relevant connections. But we have rituals. I mean, every society transmits its values from generation to generation through the rituals of that society, and the main rituals are meals. And so the subtext of every meal is don't make the connection between what's on your plate and what it took to get it onto your plate. So the subtext of every meal that we're having three times a day, virtually everyone in our society, is don't make the connection, which does reduce our intelligence, our actual working intelligence, collectively and individually, so that it explains why, unfortunately, we're not able to deal effectively with our problems, because our cognitive intelligence, our emotional intelligence, our social intelligence are all attacked and eroded by the violence of animal agriculture towards animals and towards ourselves as well. And I think the other aspect of intelligence has to do with what I refer to as Sophia, who was the Greek goddess of wisdom. You know, wisdom is feminine. And this feminine wisdom within all of us, I think especially in women, to love and nurture and protect life. That's the basic wisdom that allows us to thrive as little babies. We have a loving mother who loves and protects us. Even though we're a lot of trouble, she loves us. So the whole idea is to realize that men also have this. You know, we have this capacity to love and protect life. But animal agriculture is about submerging Sophia, suppressing Sophia. We have to stab and attack and kill animals. We have to eat them every day. We have to not think about it. And so Sophia, which is the precious wisdom that we all have, is eroded, and thus we can allow corporations to destroy ecosystems, large financial systems to dominate and exploit ecosystems and human beings, and corporations to invade our lives and our children's lives with pornographic and violent products and so forth. Sophia would never allow that, you know, but when Sophia is reduced, then we really don't have any protection. So I think really what the vegan movement is, in many ways, the movement for animal liberation, it's this arising and awakening of our intelligence and of Sophia, the sacred feminine dimension of spiritual awareness, in many ways, of mindfulness, of being aware and conscious, having a sense of caring about this beautiful planet and our beautiful lives and our beautiful children, and not allow the whole thing to be just destroyed for no reason. I've been a vegan for 40 years. I'm much healthier than virtually anyone my age. I guarantee it. I mean, I haven't been to a doctor in 40 years. And I'm not the only one. People in general who eat a healthy, organic, plant-based diet are way healthier than the people eating meat and dairy. So
on average, I do have to push back. I think on average, vegans are healthier than... A vegan diet is health sustaining, but there are sick vegans. There are vegans who, you know, who don't thrive. So I just want to give some acknowledgement that perfect health is not necessarily a given for a vegan diet, because so much of it is not just.
I think, you know, I mean, health is a very complex subject. It has a lot to do with our minds and what we're eating and drinking and thinking and how we're, you know, 10,000 things. But food is very important in it. And the point I know we agree on is that there's no nutrients in animal foods that we need to be healthy.
Oh,
reason to harm animals to get any nutrients.
There's no vitamin M. Yes, no vitamin M for sure. So, anyway.
Yeah, and I think, Will, something that you talk about in the book as well, which I think is sort of the culmination of the thought, is that you know, we were fed these lies and this cultural conditioning as children. So, you know, it's not our fault. But there comes a point as adults where we have to really wake up and leave home and start to question the things that we were taught as children, as we start to look with eyes of wisdom at what is really happening in our world. And I think of Greta Thunberg, for example, and the work that she's doing trying to bring the attention to climate change. And Greta's a vegan. And I think she's a very young soul, but also a very old soul that's left home in terms of questioning what her society has taught her.
Oh, I think when you talk about, when Will mentions that intelligence is the ability to make relevant connections and that, you know, the way our society oppresses non-human animals kind of suppresses that intelligence. I think Greta's an example of, like, breaking through that. And obviously, making the connections is what she's all about. She's totally not about fooling ourselves that we're, that what we're doing is sustainable.
Exactly.
Good, yeah. So these are, I think, all important points. And we see, I think, a lot of younger people, unfortunately, because we travel. I mean, since the World Peace Diet has been translated into all these languages, I mean, I've given literally thousands of lectures all over the world, and I've heard every possible pushback from anybody about this. And there really isn't any. I mean, you know, compassion and kindness and respect and health go hand in hand. And we're seeing young people are awakening. I mean, there's an enormous inertia and enormous fear within people to change. It's sort of this tribal mentality that, in my tribe, we eat this food, and a vegan comes along, and people think, well, you're from another tribe, and we don't trust you. But the whole idea is to realize that it's not in our best interest. The only reason anyone eats animal foods is because we're just following orders that have been basically injected into us without our permission from infancy by very well-meaning, loving people who are also indoctrinated. And like I say, maybe it was good 10,000 years ago, but there's no reason today for anyone to do this. And the more we can question this, I think the healthier we'll be on every level. And we're seeing that happening. I mean, when we travel, we see so many veg fests, just growing up all over Eastern Europe, and we've been in Africa, in Asia, you know, really every continent, not in Antarctica, but in all the other continents. And we see people, especially young people, really doing fantastic work, starting with vegan restaurants and just educating, just learning how to make healthy vegan food. And that's the beautiful thing. We don't have to fight against a system that's obsolete. We can create an alternative that makes it, you know, obsolete. I think that's the beautiful thing.
I like that. Let's create a new system to supplant the old one.
Right. And we can do it. And it's, I think, very much a grassroots kind of approach. With getting more locally organized as communities for food sustainability and energy sustainability, growing our own food. We lived on the road for 18 years in an RV and traveled and spoken out. We have a house in Northern California, in Lake County, and we have a food forest, and we're growing quite a lot of food. I mean, it's amazing to see how the earth loves to give. We've got about 50 fruit and nut trees and lots of vegetables and other herbs and things. And it's just something that we can, I think all of us can do ourselves or support people who are doing that locally.
And, oh, yeah. Well, Chico.
Healthy food is really important. Yeah.
Chico's really big on community gardens, and we have some of the richest soil in the state. So, yeah, definitely where possible, it's nice to be able to grow your own food. Sherry, do you have any closing thoughts here?
Well, I just wanted to remind our listeners. First, I wanted to thank Will. Will, we're sorry we have to cut this short. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. But we know that when you're here on October the 9th at the Chico Library, you're going to delve a lot deeper and have a lot more time to talk about all of the ideas in the World Peace Diet. So we just really want to encourage our listeners out there to attend this informative and fascinating presentation. Again, that's October the 9th at the Chico Library on Sherman Avenue. Will's presentation begins at 6:30 p.m., light vegan refreshments starting at 6.
And the public is welcome. This is Jeannie Trezino and Sherry Mercado. You've been listening to Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, for the last half hour on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM. And I just want to, I guess we should start wrapping up here, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, we're going to skip the quote. because we are out of time. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the host and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow Earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, and otherwise abused.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against. Please stay tuned for The Real Issue with host